Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In this chapter, believers are exhorted not to go to court with fellow believers. Also in this chapter, believers are exhorted to remember that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have courts concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to court against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. The theme of 1 Corinthians is Christian conduct. In this letter, the Apostle Paul addresses certain problems in the church at Corinth and offers solutions, and in doing so, teaches the Corinthian believers, and us as well, how to live for Christ in a world that rejects Christ. Now, we've covered the problem of divisions in the church in chapters 1 through 4, and the case of incest in the church in chapter 5. Now, here in chapter 6, we have two more problems. The problem of litigation and the problem of moral laxity. In the first half of the chapter, dealing with litigation, Paul makes two statements in passing that need some explanation. What does the Apostle Paul mean when he says that saints will judge the world? Verse 2. And what does he mean when he says saints will judge angels? Verse 3. Well, in reference to the truth that the saints will judge the world, the Bible teaches that Christ is coming back to this earth to set up his long-awaited and promised earthly kingdom. It is known as the millennial kingdom of Christ because it will last for 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20. At that time, Christ will reign over the nations, and there will be world peace for 1,000 years. And here's the point. Believers will reign with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12 says, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him." And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, we read that Christ has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on this earth. Revelation 5:10. So believers in their glorified bodies will reign with Christ over this world. And this reign will obviously include government and thus judgment. So the saints will judge the world at that time. Now, what about the fact that the saints will judge angels, as we read here in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3? We know from 2 Peter chapter 2 and the book of Jude that there is a group of fallen angels awaiting judgment. I'm reading Jude, verse 6. "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." Jude, verse 6. Most likely, the fallen angels referred to here are the angels of Genesis chapter 6, that wrongly left the angelic ranks and in some way cohabited with women. John 5:22 says that the Father has given all judgment to the Son. John chapter 5, verse 22. Now, because we are united with Christ, and as the church, we are the body of Christ, we will be involved with Christ in the judgment of these fallen angels, probably after the millennium. So the saints will judge fallen angels. Let's move now to our two main doctrinal points for this chapter. Doctrinal or teaching point number one. Because believers will judge the world, they should not sue fellow believers. Because believers will judge the world, they should not sue fellow believers. The reason the Apostle Paul mentioned the fact that Christians will judge the world and judge angels is to emphasize how inconsistent it was for Christians to go to court against one another then and today. Apparently, there was a believer in the Corinthian church that was taking another believer to court. What the case was, we don't know. Whatever the case was, or cases, since there may have been more than one based on verse 7, Paul rebukes the Corinthian believers for not being able to settle their differences in-house. For believers to resort to the courts of this world and have unbelievers decide who's right and who's wrong is inconsistent and shameful. How much better to let a wise Christian in the church help you settle your mundane cases, or maybe even set up a small law court composed of wise and godly Christians within the church? And as a last resort, be wronged, be defrauded, be stepped on, verse 7. But don't have lawsuits against one another. Now, an application for today. Let's say, for example, that there is a car accident between two Christians with major damage and hospital bills. Well, obviously, in a case like this, the police and the insurance companies are going to be involved and handle the case. The two Christians are not disobeying the scripture when they let the insurance companies settle their case. But now let's take another example. And this is an actual case that I know of. A Christian couple contracted with a Christian builder to build them a house. The Christian builder did not fulfill his full obligation. Rather than go to court, both parties agreed to have a third party composed of Christians decide the case. Both sides first agreed on a certain number of godly Christians for the third party, and both sides agreed to live by the judgment of this third party, and they did. And God was glorified. It can work, even though it may not be easy. Because Christians will judge the world, they should not sue fellow believers. Doctrinal point number 2. Because believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit, they should glorify God with their bodies. Because believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit, they should glorify God with their bodies. Verses 9 through 20. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, we read, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And here in 1 Corinthians 6:19, we read, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" We have two important truths contained in these two scriptures. The truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is that the temple of the Holy Spirit is the church, composed of all believers. The Holy Spirit dwells in the midst of the church, which is the body of Christ. The truth here in 1 Corinthians 6 is that the body of each individual believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in our individual bodies. For this reason, believers should glorify God with their bodies. Now, how do we do that? Well, certainly we should not be living a life of sin. In fact, verses 9 and 10 indicate that if a person is living a life of sin, he or she is not a Christian. Now, these verses, by the way, do not mean that a person who has ever committed one of these sins can't be or become a Christian. No. It has to do with the lifestyle and habitual practice of these sins. This is what characterized some of the Corinthian believers before they were saved. But no longer, verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Another way in which we glorify God with our bodies is how we deal with things of moral indifference. This is covered in verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, obviously, Paul is not talking here about sinful activity that he has just condemned in the previous verses. No. What is in view here are those questionable activities that are okay in themselves, but are not good to practice because they might stumble weaker believers, or might offend some folks, or might even become addictive for us. For example, Christians should think through their position seriously on social drinking. They may say it's lawful for them, but what about stumbling younger or weaker believers? And what about the danger of addiction? A third way in which Christians glorify God with their bodies is by having the right view of sex. The body and sex is not similar or parallel to the stomach and food, as some of the false teachers at Corinth were apparently teaching. Verse 13, sexual sin is very serious sin. In fornication, a believer as a member of the body of Christ and in union with Christ is becoming one with a prostitute. May it never be. Verse 15. Furthermore, sexual sin is not just outside the body. It has devastating effects on your own body as well. Verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. We've been bought with a price, verse 20, namely the precious blood of Christ. God owns our bodies. Therefore, let's glorify God with our bodies. Because believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit, they should glorify God with their bodies. Practical application from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't let people say in a negative way, there goes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't let people say in a negative way, there goes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Suppose someone said that about you. There goes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Would it be a positive or negative statement? Let's hope it would be positive. Verse 14 says that we will have resurrected bodies someday. Those resurrected bodies will be perfect and they will glorify God. But right now, we can glorify God in our present bodies. The question is, are we? Don't let people say in a negative way, there goes the temple of the Holy Spirit.